The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.
The Ticket.
Welcome back to the Playground. Four Horsemen. And we have the Four Horsemen here with you today in studio. Jeff Childs in the air chair. Jay-Z to my left. Tony O on the right. And Matt Miz on the ones and twos. Well, we're talking Michigan's 41-8 crushing win over Illinois yesterday, as the Wolverines now 7-0 and in the driver's seat as far as the Big Ten is concerned, 4-0. And that brings us to our next guest here on the Playground, Mr. Steve Clark. Steve, how are you?
Doing fantastic, guys. You sounding well this morning, and it's great to be on your program.
All right, well, we really appreciate it. And getting started off, Steve, if you look at what Michigan did this game in the running game, they've shown the last couple of weeks that they're willing to be more of a by-committee team, by-approach sort of team with a lot of balanced running. From the running backs, Michigan had 14 different players carry the ball. And what have you noticed, what has stuck out for you about the running game between Higdon, Smith, and the rest of the backs?
Well, one of the first things I think of is that this way they're keeping healthy. You're not putting a guy back there who's, you know, pounding the rock like Leonard Fournette, you know, at LSU 30 times and then being worn down midway through the year or being injured. So the guys are staying fresh, not too many carries. The second thing that I think about is there's some diversity in our backfield. I mean, you have Davion Smith, the power runner who doesn't go down easily on first contact. Ty Isaac is similar in that, but then you also got some speedsters in there that make some very quick moves and cuts, like Chris Evans and Caron Higdon. And so when you've got two different styles and different people to prepare for, you're not exactly sure what you're going to get. And, you know, defenses may have to change things up a little bit or be mentally prepared better, knowing that there is different personnel groups there all the time.
Yeah, Chris, and unfortunately, Steve, we had Chris Evans go down yesterday with an injury. It looks like he'll be back and be okay, but I've talked about this a little bit with Mike on Inside the Huddle, but Caron Higdon, as you said, showing that versatility in the cuts and juking and making guys miss. Is he a guy in the future where, I know Michigan really doesn't want to label backs anymore, they want to have a collection of backs, but is he a guy where Michigan could rely on him for the bulk of a carries in the course of a game?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, again, we haven't seen him in that role yet, and one of the things that, you know, Tyrone Wheatley wants to be able to make sure that any back comes on the field's got to be able to pass protect. If you want to be the everyday back at Michigan, you've got to be able to block. And that's just one of those things that freshmen and sophomores don't learn real early. It's one of those things you have to be an upperclassman to figure it out. You know, there's a possibility there. I mean, you know, Chris is there. Caron Higdon is there. We expect Kareem Walker to be a factor in all this. And Michigan is still recruiting, you know, top backs in the nation. So don't be surprised if Michigan continues to bring in very highly rated running backs that will all figure into the position, and maybe they'll continue by committee, or maybe they'll find the one true back they want.
We're talking to Steve Clark here on the Playground, regular contributor on WTK, and you can hear him every Saturday on the Golabat Blue countdown to kickoff. Steve, I thought Wilton Spate had his best game as Michigan starting quarterback, 253 yards. He had a rating of 190, but more importantly, he's getting those passes complete over the middle, and he's finding those windows for his receivers. I thought the timing with his receivers was really good, and I feel like there's a lot more confidence in him as Michigan rolls into East Lansing. What have you seen from him, and what have you liked going off of yesterday's game?
Well, I don't think Wilton Spate has ever lacked confidence going in, but one of the things that I kind of saw him, it didn't seem like he was forcing his throws as much as he was in some previous games. I've always been kind of high on Wilton Spate ever since watching him at the beginning of the season, the way he's been able to approach the game and be able to, you know, connect on some medium and long range passes. You know, Wilton Spate can be the guy. He is not like the number one, you know, quarterback in the Big Ten, not a Heisman Trophy candidate right now, of course, but, I've liked his game. I liked his approach, and he does seem like a solid leader out there for the team when they're out on offense.
Well, Steve, Michigan now in the driver's seat in the Big Ten East. They're 4-0 after just a shocking loss last night. Penn State upsetting Ohio State in Happy Valley. I'm sitting there watching and I almost couldn't believe it, but as much as JT Barrett is a slippery quarterback and he can avoid that pressure and make plays happen, Penn State did just enough, I thought, both in the pass rush and sort of containing him, and they had the sack to end the game, but also their special teams. In a game like that, we were looking to trigger an upset. You need plays like that from your special teams, and they got that on the block. What was your first takeaway from such a shocking loss yesterday?
Well, what does it really mean is that Ohio State lost some breathing room. If Ohio State wins out, they're still going to win, you know, the Big Ten, or at least win the Eastern Division part of it. So that part of it hasn't been ruined for them. And likely if they are able to win the rest of their games, they probably got enough collateral to still, you know, get a spot in the playoff. As far as the game itself, you know, special teams was just absolutely big for Penn State, especially in the fourth quarter. Getting the plays that they did, the ball bouncing into the player's hands as he's, you know, running free and almost gets tripped up at the 5-yard line, but manages to get in the end zone. It looked like in the last series that Penn State's linebackers, and some of them were starting to get healthy and playing again, were recognizing the snap count from JT Barrett, also recognized that the play clock was going down to 2 or 1. And if you're starting in the middle linebacker and your idea is to blitz, you see that there's 2 seconds left on the play clock, you might as well go. Because one of two things is going to happen. They're going to snap the ball and you're going to have a jump and you have a better chance of getting in the backfield. You're not going to be offsides because you're not going to cross the line that quickly. Or the other team's going to call a timeout and it's not going to matter. But they seem to be able to get penetration pretty well against Barrett. I thought one of the more interesting things was that 3rd-down-and-10 play that made 4th-and-long almost unmanageable for Ohio State. I don't think JT Barrett was actually sacked. If you look at that 3rd-down-and-10 play.
Yeah, he did not hit the turf. You're right.
He gets rolled over, and he stands on his feet, and he puts his hand on the ground. But, you know, as long as the forearms or the legs or the back don't go down, the play is still alive. But, of course, you know, I'm sure the referee blew the whistle, and that was all there said to be that on that particular play. But, you know, Ohio State still has a chance to win it all, but I think the missing thing outside the nation right now is that Penn State is now a factor for the Eastern Division standings. They only have one loss. That's, of course, to Michigan, where they got blown out 49-10. But you look at Penn State's rest of its schedule, and their toughest game left is a home game against Iowa in 2 weeks. Now, what would happen if there was a 3-way tie for first place in the Big Ten? Looking down the divisional tiebreakers, I saw that in step 5, Penn State would actually lose out due to not having the best overall winning percentage because of their loss against Pittsburgh back in September. So they would not, you know, not be good in that particular situation, but they are essentially be for Michigan to lose twice. They would need Michigan to lose more likely against Ohio State and then another time on the road. And Jeff, one of the things that your partners probably already brought up on Twitter is and something I truly believe in, is the power of the night game. And Michigan's going to have to go to Iowa City, a place where they haven't won in 2005, and I would certainly list Michigan as a favorite and be confident about winning in it. But again, you know, home games on national TV at night, it just brings out the best in the home team for the most part. And I think Ohio State would tell you the same thing. Having to play at night on the road the last 2 weeks, losing to Penn State, a team that they had no business losing to, and having to escape in overtime in Madison.
Yeah, there's always a danger, Steve, and the Buckeyes unfortunately fell victim to that last night. We want to thank you for your time, Steve, and if you're looking to hear from Steve, you can hear him Saturday mornings and at other times here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket. Thank you very much for joining us, Steve.
You're welcome, guys. Have a great show.
All right, that was Steve Clark, and that will wrap up the playground for us this morning. For The Miz, for Jay-Z, for Tonio, I'm Jeff Childs. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The Playground on Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket.